Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Learn easy to implement tips on how to release clutter and get organized to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. An award-winning professional organizer and coach, Julie also shares suggestions to help you live clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life. Do you let go of clutter, but then at no time it's back to the way it was? Do your books on releasing clutter and getting organized collect dust on a shelf? Do you know you need to dig deeper on releasing clutter, but keep getting stuck? Our Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, Releasing and Affirming MP3s support you in all areas of your life, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
So on today's show, we're going to be talking about information overload. You know, at least in industrialized nations, and I would even argue that farmers today, with all the information and technology they can learn to grow products, everyone is on information overload. But how do you handle that? You know, I'm in the middle of a learning curve, actually, for this show. And last week in the middle of class, I said, don't tell me anymore. My brain can't handle it. I don't want any more information. So learn tips and tricks today where you can learn to handle the information overload. And I'd like to tell you about today's guest. Emily Parks founded Organized for Success, LLC in 2007. She specializes in productivity and technology for small businesses for both PC and Mac. She utilizes technology and business organization systems to help clients increase efficiency and output by creating customized plans to incorporate into daily operations. Emily provides one-on-one and team consulting in person or via Skype, Google Plus Hangouts, or Uvu, customized workshops and trainings, workflow processes, and how to organize your workspace statewide in North Carolina. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you, Julie. I'm glad to be here today.
We are excited to have you because technology drives me nuts, and if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, it's definitely a tool in our toolbox, that's for certain. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yes, and sometimes I say unfortunately that. But let's get started. We've got lots of good stuff to talk about today. We're bombarded with information 24/7 in both our personal and professional lives. How do we take control?
Julie, you are so correct about that. We are all inundated with information 24/7, and it can be extremely overwhelming. I think it's important to start solving the situation by considering how we got here. Digital storage space is much less expensive than it's ever been before. Regular folks, in addition to companies, are contributing online content, which simply multiplies the amount of content being generated. Our tech tools, our smartphones, our tablets, our two-in-ones, all of our gadgets do so much more than ever before, and mobile professionals are on call for working 24/7. Therefore, to take control, we must address five different challenges. First, we need to cull together or capture all the bits of information that are relevant and useful. Right now, they're scattered everywhere. So culling those together and having one place to reference and resource those is important. Second, we need to organize these contents, grouping like with like, and doing what we can to index the details for later searching. Third, it's really important that we make sure we have enough space to adequately store and manage the contents being retained. We don't want to feel like we're bouncing up against that ceiling and stressing over whether we're going to go over our limit and something's going to get deleted or removed. Fourth, we must address privacy concerns, verifying that we're keeping what's stored in a safe place so it's protected from theft, loss, and any damage. This information is important in our day-to-day lives, and so we want to make sure that it's secure. Fifth and finally, we absolutely must tackle the need for quickly locating what's needed later so that we can see the content in an understandable, accessible, and usable way, hopefully being able to present and share that information with other individuals.
Fantastic. But how do we successfully wade through all of this information? I think the key word here is successfully.
Absolutely. I was doing some research, and recently an Android app called Locket did a research study on people and how they handle their tech tools. They found that the average mobile device user, and this is the average, checks their devices 110 times a day. That includes approximately 23 times a day for messaging, 22 times a day for voice calls, and 18 times a day just to get the time. More and more of us aren't wearing wristwatches, so we depend on our phones, our tablets, things like that for time. In fact, one study participant unlocked their phone up to 900 times in a given day. That's amazing, isn't it?
Crazy. Well,
to wade through all the information with which we're bombarded, the first step is to turn off the pings and dings and all those notifications that distract us and pull us in 1,000 different directions. This empowers you to be in control of when you handle this information, not just handling it when that person that's sending it out in your direction wants you to handle it. Then, be very clear about both your personal and professional goals. Being clear about your priorities and your goals will empower you up front to know how you'd like to use whatever useful information that you might receive, whether you're getting it through an email, social media, a text message, whatever. We want you to be able to clearly focus in on what information is applicable and thereby block out what's really not needed at all.
Wonderful, though, you know, there. I hear they're coming out with, I think I'm saying the proper term, the smartwatch. And my husband's like, oh, I want one. I said, absolutely not. I'm like, you don't wear a watch except when we go out to dinner to a nice restaurant. Like, seriously? Like, and I said, you don't want to be connected. I said, you're disconnected more than I am, and now you want to get this watch.
And there's that bright, shiny thing syndrome where people keep seeing people that are out with these smartphone watches where, you know, they're looking at it and finding the information right there on their wrist. And sure, it's easy, it's accessible, it's fun, but is it the most productive? Probably not, especially when we're trying to focus on getting things done that are important, not necessarily urgent.
Excellent. I'm going to play this back for him so I can say that, hey, I wasn't the one that told you, the technology expert did. So let's talk a moment about storage. How do we easily, and again the keyword being easily here, store the information we'll need for later without it turning into yet another form of clutter?
Absolutely. Well, we are becoming luckier and luckier in that there are excellent tools available for your mobile devices to aid in this endeavor. For example, using Morning Coffee on an Android device or on Firefox, or using the app Morning on an iPhone or an iPad, or even Flipboard is a great example that works across various platforms where you can determine exactly which communications and which news channels that you want to cross into your space. So you are picking up front which ones you want to appear in this news feed. Unfortunately, a lot of social media tools are allowing the tool to pick what we see. So people are having to be more creative and think outside the box to find these tools like Morning Coffee, like Morning, like Flipboard, where you subscribe to those magazines and you kind of create your own magazine of sorts that could include specific blogs, could include subscription magazines, but actually channels to you that news that you want to. Then you can more easily save what will be needed later into what they call a Read It Later app. Examples of those are Pocket, Instapaper, and Readability. Likewise, for any blog or website that posts content in a stream, you can pull that content into what they call an RSS feed, which can be read in an RSS reader. Examples of those are Feedly, Quite RSS, Feed Reader, News Blur, which I think is a very appropriate name since sometimes we feel like we're in a blur when we're reading the news, RSS Owl, and NetVibes are all examples of great RSS readers that allow you to be in control of what information you get in front of you instead of being bombarded by what others want you to read. While Pinterest has kind of been pigeonholed as this do-it-yourself planner or pulling fashion together or helping with a home renovation or crafts or cooking, Pinterest can actually be a great tool for storing information that we face daily, basically allowing us to create an image board that we want on a topic we want. So maybe if you're working on a particular client's project, or maybe you're working on planning a specific event, then you can use Pinterest for all that research and planning and evaluating news and information related to that particular topic that's of interest to you instead of everybody you might be following. Alternatively, Twitter can be a great tool for storing information. This onslaught of sweet tweets that we get on any particular date could be easily culled together into your favorites. When you're on Twitter and you see the little star that's underneath a tweet that you really like and think you'd want to reference later, if you click on that star, it makes it one of your favorites. Then whenever you're logged into Twitter, if you go to twitter.com/favorites, you'll be able to see every sweet tweet that you've marked as a favorite tweet. And that's a great way of culling that together. A lot of times if I'm doing research for a client, I may pull together the most recent tweets that would be applicable, mark them all as favorites, so that then they appear at the top of my favorites page when I go to work with that client. And lest we not forget my all-time favorite tool for sharing information that we'll need to later reference, I highly recommend that you do a self-made database in Evernote. Evernote can allow you to cull together clippings from the internet, text that you've typed in yourself, photos of things that you want to reference later, annotated images, video, audio, but really importantly, you can actually send emails into your Evernote account so that way you can cull together within any of the aspects of your database exactly what you'd want to reference later. The search capabilities make it so it's not filled with clutter because you can find what you're looking for within the search criteria you need to use. It's an excellent tool.
Well, I set up my first RSS feed last week, and I like that. It's an easy ping, but I don't feel overwhelmed. I love Pinterest, and I have yet to try a bad recipe on Pinterest. And what I've used, it's because I took a class, Evernote and Advanced Evernote, with you. I now use what I love is Evernote for my recipes. And I was talking with someone about kitchen organization. I brought up because she talked about her system that she uses and how all of us have these thousands of cookbooks, but maybe use one or two recipes. But Evernote is great for recipes. I highly recommend. That's, at the moment, really what I use it the most for.
Yay, a success story. That's wonderful.
It is. Now, let's talk about email, because that's a place where it can be overwhelmed, it becomes a blur, and how do we clear the clutter there?
Julie, there are tons of great techniques for clearing the clutter in your email. It's definitely an area that is growing in the stress level that it causes for users of email, and we're getting more and more bombarded with messages. There are varying studies, but anywhere from 150 emails a day to 300 emails a day would be what the average executive is receiving. So it's definitely something that requires focus and requires a true effort to make sure that we're clearing the clutter related to email. First, I recommend that you send fewer emails to get fewer emails back. Obviously, if it's something that you need documented or if it's something that you need to share with multiple different people, email is the best option, and you'll need to stick with sending an email versus other options. However, if a phone call will suffice, give it a try. That way you're taking away that email clutter or any sort of documentation clutter that you would have to later process. Next, how many of us subscribe to different e-newsletters, news emails, all those kind of things? So if it is an e-newsletter that you are not reading, go ahead and unsubscribe from that. It does take a second to go in and go through the process of unsubscribing, but each time you hit that delete key to remove that from your inbox adds up. So the amount of time that it takes to unsubscribe is typically a lot less than the accumulation of every time you've hit the delete button to remove that from your inbox. So just take the initiative and unsubscribe. However, on the other hand, if you do have subscriptions that you would like to keep receiving, consider culling those into what they call a roll-up. It's a kind of a digest of your emails for that subscription that you can receive daily or weekly. And a couple of the more popular options are unroll.me or the Swizzle. So if you search for Swizzle, it'll pull up the Swizzle.com, or unroll.me is actually the URL that you would access to set up your roll-up through unroll.me. Third, I recommend that you master the art of creating reference folders within your email management tool. You can more quickly locate a message for later reference when you have a nice balance between having enough folders that everything to be kept can have a home, while on the other hand limiting the number of folders so nothing could be appropriate for more than one of those existing folders. Yes, it can be an art form, and it's definitely a balancing act, but having the right folders, not too many, but just enough, almost like Goldilocks, is definitely something that can help with your productivity in handling email. Then within those reference folders, utilize automated rules to sort your emails into their appropriate homes. It could be that you want to highlight what needs time-sensitive attention. So if you have someone a particular client or a vendor that needs a quick turnaround and responses, you may set up a folder for that particular individual so that when you set up the rule for emails to go in that folder, you know that that needs response. Or maybe it's so that you can have those e-newsletters that you're going to continue to subscribe to go into a folder where you can deal with it when it's appropriate for you, not on the whim of whoever is sending you those emails. We want to make sure that you call those items for reading into a home so that you read them when it's convenient for you. It's important that you're in control of your email, not your email being in control of you. Finally, and probably most importantly, I encourage you to shift your mentality related to email so that you're no longer, quote, checking your email, but instead you're processing your email. Your inbox should not be a holding zone. When we go in and we read an email and then we come back to respond to it later, we're repeating the time and effort of reading the original message. And thinking about what we're going to reply actually is weighing on us continually between receipt and finally responding. So shifting from checking, where you quickly glance over what's in the inbox, to actually processing those emails, where you do something and you deal with them when you originally read them, will make you more productive in the long run. Yes, developing that habit can be a challenge, and it does require some effort and some time up front, but tasks that take less than 5 minutes should be completed when the message asking for them to be done is initially received. Any tasks that take longer than 5 minutes need to be added to your running task list. Appointments should be moved directly to your calendar. Retention items should be moved to those personal folders. And anything not needed can go ahead and be moved to your trash. That way, you can focus your inbox on new things that need your attention when they come in.
Excellent advice. I'm in the process of having 4 emails whittling down to 1 personal and 1 business. And the other thing I'd like to add, you know, I do an annual purge every year, and I know people do different things, but not to forget the email and the computer. Because I thought of you the other day, I was like, oh, thank goodness. I said, I've let this slide a little too far, but I'm like, really? You have like 20 of these little daily messages, you've read them, it's time to kind of get in there and do some scrubbing.
Excellent. I love your annual purge. I think that's fabulous. But you're right. Making sure that people understand, especially in this day and age where digital is such a dominating communication tool, that those electronic files are just as important to purge as the paper and the physical objects. Excellent.
Yay, gold star for me. Now let's talk about this. How do we discard what's irrelevant? And Emily, I'm sure you have had clients, I know I've had them, just have this fear. like a true fear that like, oh my gosh, if I just, what, this fear that they're going to let something important go. So how do we determine what's irrelevant?
Absolutely. That fear of I might need this one day can truly be debilitating. But it's important to remember that that delete key can be your friend. If you get an email that there are donuts in the conference room, it's great to read that and go have a snack, but that's not an email you need to keep. There's no need to hold on to anything that is no longer accurate, applicable, useful, or bringing you joy. I like to refer back to those four qualifications each time I'm going through the editing process. But likewise, there's a big difference between junk that you should never bring into your space to begin with versus trash that you can delete after reviewing it. The donuts email is a great example of something where you want to read it, but it's not something to keep around. So that's trash. Whereas junk would be something that is offering you this fabulous vacation if you buy X number of something. Well, that's something you don't want coming into your environment usually. So being clear in one's mind about what's junk versus what's trash, and then when you determine what to save, ignore, or delete, consider what can be easily located online later. So if it's a bit of information that you can easily find with a quick Google search or by searching your reference articles for that information, there's no need to clutter your space with what you don't need or can just as easily be pulled up online.
Fantastic. Now, most of us are collaborating, whether it's working with clients, you know, working on planning an event. There's a lot of interaction. We're not, even though Simon and Garfunkel claim they were a rock and an island, most of us aren't like that. So how can we reduce the clutter when we're collaborating?
Julie, it is an exciting time to be collaborating because there are tons of useful apps to boost your productivity and enable sharing information with your team. But the great thing now is you don't have to log into each of those individually each day. Many of those different productivity apps now talk to one another, so you can get the information from several different tools by just logging into one of those apps. This is a great way to streamline your functionality while still enhancing your collaboration. For example, you can cull together documents from various online file repositories like Dropbox, Box, SugarSync, Google Drive, all those different things within CloudCube on Android and Citrix ShareFile Quick Edit on iOS devices like the iPhone or the iPad. So when you go into one of these two apps, whether it be CloudCube or the Citrix ShareFile Quick Edit, you can do a quick search for a specific file, and it will look across all the different online file repositories that you've given it access to search. So you don't have to remember, was this in Google Drive, or was this in Dropbox, or was this in SugarSync? All you have to do is go to your combined or culled together database, and it will figure that out for you. Another great option is Quip Business. This tool lets your team combine shared documents along with messaging about those documents side by side. So you have all the information necessary for related projects right there in that one place. Further, both the Catch app as well as it's called Hojoki, H-O-J-O-K-I, they are both apps that merge data from multiple different apps, which is particularly useful for management that's overseeing what team members are doing on these different apps. But by logging into either Catch or Hojoki, you can get a quicker response and easier understanding of all that's happening. As your team grows and evolves, it's important that people always be thinking about what tech tools can help them be more efficient and to kind of limit all those different logins. It's amazing how many of us have lists and lists and lists and lists of different passwords and logins. So if we can access more than one of those by logging into just one, it saves time, energy, and reduces a lot of clutter.
That's an excellent point, because I tell you, that was the last pass is worth every dime, and the older I get, anything that's going to help me not have to remember something, sign me up, because it just makes your life a lot easier. And then, you know, you've had the problem when sometimes, oh, it's been broken into, you need to change the password, it's too much.
And my brain doesn't work as well as it used to, so being able to call all that together in one place is much, much easier.
It definitely is. And let's talk a moment about paper. When electronics came out, everyone's like, oh, paper's going away. Not at all. So how do we reduce and clear the clutter in our paper?
Well, to start, I think it's important to acknowledge that it is easier to find what's needed in electronic form versus paper. So I do recommend to people that if it's something you can convert from paper to electronic, take the initiative and be proactive about that. There are powerful scanning options out there like Doxy, Fujitsu, and Neat. So any of those would be great for folks to research and see if they're applicable for their needs. Doxy, Fujitsu, and Neat. But even if you just take simply a photo on your smartphone or your tablet of a piece of paper, that can easily convert that paper into an electronic format. However, beyond that, just like email, it's very important to consolidate what paper comes into our space with an inbox. If you are in an office environment, you have people bringing you mail on a daily, weekly basis, and it can get very overwhelming when you walk back into your office and you have a stack of newly delivered paper sitting right there on your desk or in your seat. If that's the process you have right now, you realize that you're dealing with that paper when they want you to deal with that paper, which is not always realistic or helpful. So if you have an inbox either by your door or near the entry to your office, you empower yourself to address what's most important when it's convenient to you, not when that person brings it by and it sits on the corner of your desk. Additionally, I find that horizontal is hidden and vertical is visible. So if I have an inbox by the door and things are dropped into it in a vertical manner, it's easier for me to see exactly what I have and what needs to be addressed at what time period. But it's important that I'm in control of that rather than it being in control of me. Additionally, when addressing the clutter related to paper, I recommend that you create naming conventions that will mirror between your paper files and your electronic files. You talked about purging. It's really important to schedule time regularly to edit out the contents of your retention files. Electronic, email, paper, yes, we give them homes, but it's important to go back and realize those homes can't be ever evolving and filling up with just things continually. It's nice to go and find the things that are no longer needed and take them out of that place. When any piece of paper is no longer accurate, applicable, useful, or bringing you joy, get it out of your space. Whether that's via recycling, shredding, whatever works for you, clear the clutter out and make that a habit that you do on a weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual basis, whatever works for you. Finally, I do recommend that you utilize a fireproof safe for those most important papers, especially what needs to be accessed quickly in the event that you were to die or be incapacitated. A lot of people have kept those in safety deposit boxes for years, but if you were incapacitated, then there would be no access to that, and if you die, there's a delay in your heirs being able to get to that. So utilizing a fireproof safe for those extremely important documents is a great way to clear that clutter out of your regular files and keep it in a place that the right people will be able to get to when they need it.
Oh, well, you've just given me a to-do because this is good to know. We found a safe. We got a great deal. Business was going out of sale, so this is an old-school hardcore safe, but we have other things, and I didn't even think of that, but all my papers are in one container, so thank you. They're going to slide right in there, and I've got to write that down and make sure I do that. Now, talk about the power of one. I've heard you mention that. What do you mean by that?
Well, many people claim that one is a lonely number. I found it to be an extremely powerful number for boosting folks' productivity. In my work with individuals and corporate teams alike, I'm continually reminded that each of us is just one person. We don't have our work person and our home person. I'm Emily, regardless of what environment in which I'm living at that point in time. So with that in mind, there are five basic tools I've found most helpful when you just use one of them for all elements of your life. First, one calendar for both your work and personal items encourages you to not double book yourself, and it leads to fewer items falling through the cracks. Second, one running task list that funnels into one daily to-do list for each day means you more easily know exactly what needs to be done at any moment in the day. And it also allows you to focus on the 3 to 5 action items that are most important for that current day. Third, one data dump that enables your brain to think rather than remember details. It allows you to search just one location for all those notes, research, references that you may need. But again, our brains are designed to think, not remember. So there's tools out there, such as Evernote, that allow us to remember everything without depending on our not-so-predictable or not-so-reliable brains. Next, one address book for both work and personal contacts. That will enable you and empower you to better maintain your contacts and this current information. Yes, people move. People change phone numbers. And we want to have one centralized place that we can reference to change those, update those, make the information accurate. And finally, one weekly strategy session that's supported with a daily wrap-up. It's going to allow you to have a game plan for attacking what absolutely must be done each week, whether it's tasks or whether it's appointments you have to go to. And it's also going to make sure that you schedule into that game plan time to address the important items that might not necessarily be so urgent.
Wonderful. I won't mention any names, but someone I'm related to doesn't believe in the power of one. So one year someone had a really great Christmas in my family because they found a stash of gifts. And I do this throughout the year. I have a gift shelf, and if I find something on sale, I put it away. But they couldn't remember where they had put the gifts. So it was a great Christmas for someone that year, but I will be kind and not mention relative. Now, of all the questions I've asked you, I'm going to think that this is probably, in my view, the most important. I read an article that you had written where you suggest setting accessibility boundaries. Talk about this.
This is a very hot topic these days for people. I truly believe that work-life integration is slowly but surely replacing the concept of work-life balance. But I also believe it's absolutely vital for busy professionals to set limits on their availability to customers, vendors, and other team members. There is absolutely no right or wrong answer about how accessible any person should be. But it is important to set guidelines on what works best for you and your unique needs and your business's unique needs. There are plenty of tools and software that can mesh with the way you need to communicate day to day, but it's super smart to step away from all those tools from time to time. Whether you are an introvert or an extrovert, it doesn't matter. It's important to incorporate downtime into your routine and to disengage from our electronic communications, building some much-needed quiet into your day. This can be time for reflection, for progressing towards your goals, for re-energizing, or whatever meets your needs. But the value of this disengagement and this downtime is beyond measure.
I'm with you 1,000% on that. Do you have any final thoughts on surviving the info avalanche that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. I think that streamlining can be absolutely vital in clearing the clutter, and there are two tools for streamlining in today's information avalanche that we haven't discussed yet. First, although it's important to have the right message in the right framework or in the right tool in front of the right audience at the right time, in order to grow your business and to communicate with your constituents, you can't be everywhere all the time. You can't be in front of every social media tool at the right moment. It's just, we're one person. We're going to have to be in different places. We can't be in more than one place at the same time. So a social media manager can be very valuable. Options include Buffer, Hootsuite, Postling, Social Oomph, and Sprout. But find the one that best meets your unique needs and test it out before committing. But they will enable you to schedule the right message to be in front of the right audience at the right time without you having to be there manually doing it. And it will also enable you to track the response that you're getting. Second, since our brains are meant for thinking and not remembering, a customer relationship manager can help you remember the details of your previous interactions with contacts, as well as each contact's specific needs for follow-up. So if you talk to someone in the spring that needs follow-up in the fall, you can put that into your customer relationship management tool, and it will automatically remind you, oh, yes, XYZ person wanted you to follow back up with them at this point in time. I recommend looking at Infusionsoft, Insightly, Nimble, and Zoho, but this is an area that is continually growing and multiplying with options. So the key is to find the tool that matches your specific needs but addresses that problem of my brain can think, not remember, and how do I remember all the details of my client interactions?
Wonderful. Now it's a freebie. You got to share any tip and any area of clutter where people can release it. What's your final thought on releasing clutter?
Well, even though it might seem impossible, I think it's important for people to remember that you can survive the information avalanche in today's society. It's just that you have to be focused in your efforts, and you have to fully utilize the available tools to help you. There are resources out there to make it easier, but take it step by step. Baby steps can make a big difference. So pick one tool to implement today. See how that goes, and then in 30, 60, 90 days, maybe you add something else to simplify your life. But don't hesitate to ask for help, and keep evolving as the methods and tools around us continue to evolve.
All right, fantastic. Now, Emily, please share how people can find out more information about you and other things that you do so they know.
Well, I am extremely excited to be teaching classes at North Carolina State University's Technology Training Solutions Unit. So that is a great place for people to connect with me and to also receive additional information, but you can always follow content on organizeforsuccess.biz, which is the URL you can see on the screen below me right now. And I do public workshops as well as one-on-one consulting with individuals. So I would love to be able to help any of your listeners, whether it be in person or via Google Plus Hangout down the road, to make sure that you're getting more done in less time, quickly finding what you need when you need it, and most importantly, taming your technology. In this day and age of us being so dependent on our tech tools, it's important for us to be in control instead of our tools being in control.
Absolutely, and I highly recommend. I've taken several of her classes. It's a burden off of my shoulders because I don't have time, I don't have an interest, but I can just go get what I need quickly from Emily, and it saves me a lot of time. And I'd like to thank our guest, Emily Parks of Organize for Success, and I want everyone to go out and clear some clutter and create the life you choose, desire, and deserve.
Do you let go of clutter, but then at no time it's back to the way it was? Do your books on releasing clutter and getting organized collect dust on a shelf? Do you know you need to dig deeper on releasing clutter but keep getting stuck? Our Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out, Releasing and Affirming MP3s support you in all areas of your life, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
Thanks for tuning into Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out.
Sign up for our newsletter and receive a free copy of 10 Clutter-Free Living Tips. Ready to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire? Learn about Julie's coaching, ebooks, online monthly decluttering classes, how to organize your life, office hours, and her unique Clutter-Free Living Mastermind at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You can also watch all episodes on YouTube or download on iTunes and more. Join us next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.